Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Let us rise now as you are able and willing to sing our first hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. Good morning, everyone. You are very welcome to our service of readings and carols this Christmas. And if you are watching on our webcam, we hope you feel the deep warmth that is present in our Unitarian community. Readers, please come up when it is your turn. You will not be invited, no special invitations. And everyone, please join in our hymns. Our opening prayer. Spirit of life, source of all there is and guardian of the Christmas spirit, we have gathered here on this beautiful Sunday morning. We have left behind the warmth of our homes and the twinkle of the lights in our trees. We seek refuge from the frantic Christmas bustle that is beginning on the streets outside. We have gathered here in search of something, something we want, maybe even something we deeply need. The sense of community as our voices rise as one in a carol, the comfort of familiarity as we listen to the story as old as time. The dream and promise of light returning and peace to all. Christmas has different hearts. May you find the one you are looking for, but even more importantly, the one you need. Amen. And now our chalice lighting. We light this chalice here in the darkness of winter as we wait. Our sacred space is one filled with prayers to be answered, love to be given and received, and miracles to be witnessed. May this light guide us until the light of the sun returns again. And now Dennis will lead us.
Recently, this church received a magnificent gift, a nearly 200-year-old Bible in beautiful condition, a mighty weight, by the way, and presented by Strand Street Church to their minister in May 1828, Reverend Dr. William Hamilton Drummond. His portrait dominates the vestry. And of course, Strand Street went on to build this church, which is our joy. Many years later, they built this. It's my great honor and privilege to read from this Bible. Yeah. St. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Read you a Christmas story that it's okay to doubt and you're free to use your reason. Once upon a time, not very long ago, 2 10-year-olds approached their class teacher. They asked him to help them as they had some questions about Santa Claus. He, like any sensible adult, was worried about what they might ask, and especially at this time of the year. They said that they really could not see how Santa Claus could get to deliver the presents to every child in the world in one night. And did they have to believe in magic? He opened his laptop. And with their help and a great deal of help from AI, they worked out that there were about 2 billion children in the world who would be eligible for a present from Santa Claus. And so to deliver them all in one night, Santa Claus was going to have to be very, very fast. So the teacher asked the children if they could think of any reason why Santa Claus could not travel at the speed of light. They agreed that that was possible. So if Santa Claus could travel at the speed of light, he could actually slow down a bit and still have time to deliver each present in 1 nanosecond. And he would still have time to actually stop occasionally in some people's homes, like they do on television, and have a cocoa and maybe something stronger and a mince pie. Okay, so the children agreed that this was possible. But it would take a great deal of cooperation from the parents. So parents would have to help a lot, and they'd have to make sure that everybody was in bed on time, that they'd have to give a hand preparing the treats for Santa Claus and for the reindeer. And they'd have to sort out the problem of the homes that didn't have a chimney. Okay. The children agreed that this was possible, maybe, and they would go away and they would think about it. What the teacher didn't know is that he could have sent them to the Unitarian Sunday Club, where there are some very wise teachers who can answer children's questions.
Now, I think at this point, it's time for the Unitarian Christmas Club. Isabel has a fantastic program organized downstairs. So all the children, young people, young adults, or if anyone else wants to join them, they've got something fantastic downstairs. So we'll see you all later. 6, 7? Yeah, cool. I bet you don't know what that meant. So I have a reading, and it's a collaboration between me, the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and the Reverend Clay Nelson. And I was unsure of what to call it, but I'll call it Happy Unitarian Christmas. Each year, the American Family Association releases a list sorting out companies into the naughty or nice column based on whether they say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. They describe themselves as defending Christmas from a secular war and point to increases in Christmas-themed advertising as proof they are winning. We've had our own debate raging over the winter lights that twinkle across our beautiful city. Now, this could be disputed, so I'm not going to claim this as the absolute truth, but I believe they were always called winter lights. The word Christmas wasn't part of the event, and there was no woke rebranding, but I'm open to be corrected on that one. Anyway, one protester remarked, "Sounds like the city council is infested with far-left woke clowns." Another protester wrote, "This is not okay. One of the good things about growing up in Catholic Ireland was Christmas. And you're very much mistaken if you think you can rebrand all those memories, feelings, and sense of family, community, and belonging." What many who worry about losing Christmas do not realize is that a profound transformation of the holiday already occurred centuries ago. And it was shaped not by conservative campaigns, but by the liberal religious community, especially Unitarians. Now, this may surprise us today. We celebrate Christmas in many, many ways in Ireland. We still say Happy Christmas. Happy Holidays hasn't quite caught on yet. Some might even prefer Blessed Solstice, but all are welcome. And if we were to keep a seasonal list, we might be better off ranking companies by environmental stewardship or ethical practices, not by their choice of greeting. But our ancestral Unitarians believed that shaping Christmas was central to shaping the moral life of the nations. In the early 1800s, Unitarians helped weave together the familiar threads of our modern Christmas. Santa Claus, Christmas trees, gift-giving with the family, charitable outreach, and the spirit of goodwill. Now, while they kept the story of Jesus, they emphasized not doctrines of atonement, but values of kindness, generosity, and moral character. Now, to understand how this happened, we need to look further back. It was the Puritans, our direct ancestors here today, who settled in New England in the 1600s. They banned Christmas entirely. In Ireland and England, it had become an unruly festival with drinking, revelry, fireworks, and rooted in ancient pagan celebrations, deemed far too frivolous and superstitious. Why? Why did they ban Christmas? Because Scripture offered no command to observe Christ's birthday. Yet by the 1800s, social changes and immigration brought Christmas back into public life. The Puritans had split into conservatives, who believed in the inherent sinfulness of humankind, and liberals, who believed people were created good and could be shaped by education and moral example. And these emerging liberals were Unitarians, who saw in Christmas a chance to nurture generosity and character, especially in children, and we've just sent them out. They wrote widely, and their influence spread. Now, Clement Moore's 1823 poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas, introduced the Santa Claus we know today, cheerful, kind, and bringing gifts to all children. Thomas Nast later placed Santa at the North Pole to symbolize his universal reach. Charles Follen, a German Unitarian, introduced the candle-lit Christmas tree to American homes. And Samuel Coleridge, moved by the German custom of mutual gift-giving between parents and children, shared that tradition with us. Now, Charles Dickens, shaped by Unitarian ideas, wrote A Christmas Carol, centering Christmas on compassion, generosity, and opening our hearts to others. Now, we don't claim Dickens as a Unitarian, but he did take a pew at the Unitarian Little Portland Street Chapel in London, and he wrote in a letter, "I have carried into effect an old idea of mine and joined the Unitarians, who would do something for human improvement if they could, and who practice charity and toleration." It was a Unitarian cartoonist and political satirist, Thomas Nast, and not Coca-Cola, who first drew Santa Claus in the red costume. And Nast, of course, made North Pole Santa's home. There, he could belong to all the children, no matter their faith or nationality. Jingle Bells was written by a Unitarian, James Pierpont, and his father was a famous Unitarian minister and abolitionist. I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day was written by Unitarian Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, and It Came Upon a Midnight Clear was written by Unitarian minister Edward Sears. So, these Unitarian influences continue to guide our celebrations. The values of kindness, charity, family connection, and goodwill that we treasure each year in many different ways are gifts from our religious forebears. They remind us that the heart of Christmas is not conflict, but generosity towards those we love and towards the wider world. Thank you.
This is The Moment of Magic by Victoria E. Safford from her book Walking Towards Morning. Now is the moment of magic when the whole round earth turns again towards the sun. And here's a blessing. The days will be longer and brighter now, even before the winter settles in to chill us. Now is a moment of magic when people, beaten down and broken, kindle tiny lights of hope and whisper secret music. And here's a blessing. The dark universe is illuminated by the candles of the menorah. Suddenly the world is ablaze with candles signaling hope, and the whole world is glad and loud with winter singing. Now is the moment of magic, when the eastern star beckons us towards an unknown goal. And here's a blessing. We find nothing in the end but an ordinary baby, born at midnight, born in poverty. And the baby's cry, like bells ringing, makes people wonder as they wander through their lives what human love might really look like, sound like, feel like. Now is a moment of magic, and here's a blessing. We already possess all the gifts we need. We've already received our presence, ears to hear music, eyes to behold lights, hands to build true peace on earth, and to hold each other tight in love.
Thank you. Christmas is subversive. One of the great things about Christmas is that it is a sturdy holiday. Christmas doesn't wimp out when times are hard. It comes anyway, even if there are hardly any presents, even when there isn't even much food to make a feast with, even if you're sad, even if the world around you is at war, even if you are still living in fear and danger and oppression, Christmas still comes. And when it comes, Christmas is subversive. Christmas, with the story of an unwed mother and a doubtful father, with its legend of a helpless baby born in a stable who was worshipped by some of the wisest, richest men in the world, with its tale of the child pursued by the deadly wrath of kings and who escaped as a refugee to a foreign land far from home. Christmas, with its ancient, enduring summons of peace on earth, goodwill to all people everywhere. You can't stop a day like that with a little hardship or greed or injustice. It will show up anyway, shining the light of a midnight star into the darkest places of our collective lives. Do not underestimate the power of the manger and the hope it holds. The Christmas song of the angels is not as innocent as it sounds. It has turned the world upside down before now. It still can.
Unitarians at Christmas by Kate McKenna. They say a story can carry a truth far greater than the literal truth. We Unitarians know the value of stories. We know they carry truth. We know they carry more truth than just the plain truth ever can. Maybe we can't believe a virgin gave birth to the Son of God, but we can believe that all births are miracles worthy of celebration and wonder. Maybe we can't believe angels brought revelations, but we can believe truth can be revealed through the actions and words of those who dare to speak it and to act it. Maybe we can't believe the angels sang to the shepherds, but we can believe that those revelations about life can come to and through even those we think are the most humble. Maybe we can't believe the wise men traveled to see the newborn baby king, but we can believe that we should never be too lofty or think ourselves too clever or too rich to see the wonder and majesty in tiny things. Maybe we can't believe that Jesus brought back the light by redeeming our sins, but we can believe in a leader, a teacher, and prophet who brought and brings illumination to the lives of those who wish to listen. We can believe in the light. Always we can believe in the light. Maybe we can't believe in the Christmas story, but we can believe it is a story which points to a greater truth than we can possibly imagine. So we are here, Unitarians at Christmas, celebrating, and long may we do so.
Thank you.
We will now have a time of reflection and some silence with these words entitled, "You are the Christmas miracle." Let us welcome the gift of reflection. We turn toward our Christmas celebrations and search for common threads of meaning. We begin with Yule, the winter solstice, and we are invited to explore duality, cycles, and seasons. Solstice, the darkest time of year, reminds us that we all partake in the miracle of renewal. Hanukkah, the festival of lights, commemorates a time of miracles when the faith of the Jewish people sustained them to reclaim their holy temple and keep the light of the menorah burning for 8 days. Christmas, the celebration of Jesus' humble birth in a manger, offers us to revisit the miracle of birth and the desire to find saviors and prophets to heal the scars of humanity. And here, in our church, you are just as much a Christmas miracle as the turning of the earth, as persistence and dedication to a faith, as the creation of each new life. We see the love you give to others, the space you create to hold one another's joys and sorrows, and the generosity and spirit you entrust to this community. You are the Christmas miracle, and this community is one of miracle makers. our notices, firstly, I'd like to thank the choir for their weeks of hard work and adding their voices to today's celebration. And a special thank you to our guests who came and joined us for the choir today, and to Shari and Josh for all of your leadership and direction. Thank you. We invite you all to join us downstairs after the service for refreshments. We're going to have a raffle, and the proceeds will go to Focus Ireland, our raffle. We will also be selling tree decorations, jams and chutneys, and a very special thank you to everyone who contributed and are volunteering, and a very special word of thanks to Alison and Bridget for coordinating it all. Finally, and this happens every time this at this time of year, it's that Jane Meredith's birthday this week, and she's watching us this morning on online. So let us wish her a happy birthday. Joy to the world. Our final blessing. This Christmas, may we glimpse the promise of the future as Mary did. Know what we must do and resist judgment as Joseph did. Honor new life and praise new creation as did the shepherds and angels. May we seek wisdom beyond our tradition as did the Magi. Offer hospitality as did the innkeeper, and in doing so, may we all discover the sacred among us as did all of those present at the first nativity. And so may the grace, inspiration, and joy of Christmas be yours today and in the days to come. Amen.